A campaign is underway to entice younger, larger crowds to Maryland's horse racing tracks. That campaign's success or failure could determine whether Baltimore's beloved but decrepit Pimlico racecourse can keep the Preakness Stakes. WIPR's Karen Hosler reports.
Sound like fun? Welcome to Date Night at Laurel Park Racetrack. Start with the live music, add cheap drinks, an all-you-can-eat buffet, and a twilight race schedule on Fridays that accommodates a regular workday and offers a front rail view of the competing ponies as they come around the far turn.
Come on, Dixie. Come on, Dixie.
The Friday racing this year, I like the evening, the 3:40 post time. I think that's neat, and then I think it's usually over around 7. So, you know, it's not, it still gives you time to leave the track and get dinner or whatever and carry on with your evening.
That was Linda Egolf. Trouble is, she and Stephen Phillips were among only a half dozen couples who showed up at the party tent last Friday night. And, like the scores of folks a little closer to the action in the grandstand or hovering near the finish line, they were already Laurel regulars. Not to worry, says Tim Ritvo, a top official of the Stronach Company, which owns Laurel Park and its sister track at Pimlico. Simply holding a racing meet in July for the first time since 2010 boosts attendance ahead of recent years when those racing days were held in the winter.
But we're trading these days off for like Wednesday and Thursday in December when you barely get anyone to come out here, the weather's not good.
Ritvo and Sal Sinatra, general manager of the Maryland tracks, have been charged with turning around the fortunes of these aging facilities that have been losing money for years. Perhaps the clearest sign of their distress came when the toilets went out at Pimlico during this year's Preakness. Sinatra said they are working on a master plan that will likely depend on Laurel to make enough money to support operations at both of the huge tracks. He's hoping to keep his losses to under $1 million this year.
We realize that in order to be efficient, we have to use the building more often.
That meant dispensing with the old 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. weekday schedule, which pretty much excluded anyone with a day job, and adding Sunday racing, complete with a brunch and a sports bar for football fans.
There's no reason that, because it's football Sunday, that we shouldn't run. I mean, everybody can't go to the game, and why not give them a nice spot to come and enjoy that? My thought was Friday night would be more of a date night, Saturday race day, Sunday family day. That's kind of the theme.
Sinatra said he is also planning 4 or 5 special event days at Laurel that might each attract as many as 20,000 fans.
And I'm going to try and do more with younger people, obviously, because that's our future.
Ritvo and Sinatra have invested $10 million so far in mostly cosmetic improvements to the tracks, such as high-definition televisions that feature local handicappers, as well as races run all over the country.
A lot of the time I try to keep the tickets in under around $50. Today it's under $50, and we'll take a look at that.
Their efforts seem to be paying off where it counts most for them, in the betting handle. Total wagering for Pimlico's 37-day spring meet this year was up 25% from 2014, including a big jump for the Black-Eyed Susan Stakes the day before the Preakness. That followed a 15% increase for Laurel's winter meet this year. Pimlico's meet this year also brought the great good news of the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years. And the terrible news of riots in the West Baltimore community that surrounds the track. A Pimlico security guard was shot in the parking lot the morning after the Belmont Stakes, Sinatra said.
After the unrest in Baltimore, 90% of the questions I got going up to Preakness was the safety of everybody and what we're doing for security. And thank God everything went smooth. Even the police who got beat up or whatever were a big help to me. But then came the day after the Belmont.
The city strife complicated the track owners' tentative plans to try to move the Preakness to Laurel. They did not realize at first that such a move would require General Assembly approval. And then after the riots came a fierce backlash from city political leaders. State Delegate Sandy Rosenberg, who lives in a modern condo within walking distance of the Pimlico racetrack, said he would strongly resist any effort to move the Preakness.
I mean, the Preakness is an important part of the history and the economy of both the Park Heights Pimlico neighborhood and the city itself. And it's very important that we keep the Preakness here.
Sinatra noted, though, that one way or another, the aging problems of Pimlico, which is the second oldest racetrack in the nation, will have to be addressed.
It needs help. I mean, with toilets this year, it could be electric next year, it could be a fire, something bad could happen. I mean, the building is old, and I got to think 5 to 10 years from now what that building's going to be like.
Ritvo and Rosenberg both suggested that a deal might be made between Maryland officials and the track owners to leverage slots revenue, already targeted for the purpose, to finance major improvements to the tracks. The likely goal would be to redesign Pimlico along the lines of Saratoga in New York, the nation's oldest track, which features a brief, family-friendly season showcasing a signature event. But there's still that nagging issue of getting millennials out to the tracks. 27-year-old horse trainer Lacey Gaudette, who comes from a family deeply embedded in the sport, including handicapper Gabby Gaudette, says she doesn't have the answer.
You know, and it's funny because I wish there were more people my age around here, but I honestly don't know how to sell the product. It's kind of an old school sport.
She noted that previous managers of the Maryland tracks made a ham-handed attempt a couple years ago to hold a college day on the same occasion of a Maryland-Duke basketball game.
You know, you're not gonna, nobody's gonna, nobody was here. And it was a good effort, but where were the people that said, hey, let's push it back a weekend or something like that?
Ritvo says it's too soon to judge their work in progress.
Right now is the short, low-hanging fruit, try to bring the fans back to the track, give them a good experience. But, you know, we'll hit a lot of singles and doubles doing that. The home run's not until you make the real, until you spend the $100, $200 million in a facility.
Meanwhile, another month of date nights at the racetrack beckons. I'm Karen Hostler for 88.1 WYPR.